His disciple remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." In the name of God, whose law is perfect and revives the soul. Amen. The lectionary folks have given us some sobering readings for today. We have the Ten Commandments in Exodus, with the commentary, "The Lord God is a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who reject the Lord God." There is also Paul's famous words about the cross being a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And then we have Jesus in a fit of anger driving the money changers out of the temple and overturning their tables. There is lots of judgment to go around in these readings, lots of attention to the law. In fact, I was remembered why I chose this hymn, hymn 574 that we just sang, and it's very hard to hear, "Search out our hearts and make us true. Help us to give to all their due, for love of pleasure, lust of gold, from sins which make the heart grow cold. Wean us and train us with thy rod. Teach us to know our faults, O God." There's more in that hymn that I hope you'll see after the sermon. But that's what you see, and what you retain is the judgment. Now, in our readings today, there is the Psalm 19, "And those that love the Lord and obey the law, being blessings to the thousandth generation." But there isn't a lot of love to go around. At least what is obvious in today's reading makes us think that. And it also doesn't seem as if the law revives the soul of those in the temple. But today I'd like to try to make the argument that, well, yes, the law does revive the soul. It's not always a popular argument, but I'm going to give it a try. I've been spending time with Kathleen Norris's recent book, Acedia and Me, A Marriage, Monks, and a Writer's Life. At its Greek root, the word acedia, yes, that's the word, A-C-E-D-I-A, means the absence of care. At one point in early Christian times, acedia was thought to be the eighth deadly sin, until, for some reason, only seven were chosen. The person afflicted with acedia refuses to care and is incapable of doing so. As Norris puts it, when life becomes too challenging and engagement with others too demanding, acedia offers a kind of spiritual morphine. You know the pain is there, yet can't rouse yourself to give a damn. Acedia is not quite depression. It is the temptation that was the great enemy of the mothers and fathers of the desert. And it is a great enemy for us all. And the law is helpful to deal with acedia. In a series of talks in the 1960s, famous monk Thomas Merton made this statement: "To say God is love is like saying eat Wheaties. There's no difference except that people know they are supposed to look pious when God is mentioned, but not when cereal is." Merton's point is that the world has become flat. Did New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman take a page from Merton, I wonder? Here's what Merton says: "Our concern with being up to date with the latest product, a new BlackBerry or phone, a new celebrity marriage, divorce, or arrest, the constant streamlining of news that gives us on the little tab below your news, child sex offender search, followed by gas prices rise, followed by Alex Rodriguez takes steroids. That leads us to live in an imaginary world in which every piece of information seems of equal value. God is love, eat Wheaties. It's the world we live in that gives us the show Mad Money with the money guy Jim Cramer, who days before the great fall of Bear Stearns encouraged everyone to buy Bear Stearns stock. as John Stewart pointed out last Friday night, is the media supporting the financial houses or watching out for everyday folks? What is the truth? What is important? Of course, this is the question Jesus gets to at his own trial, and watch for the operation of acedia in the crowd during the Passion Gospel. But that's another story for a few weeks hence. The point that I'm making is that our culture has made it very difficult to know what is worth caring about having zeal for world events or even our own lives. Norris says that it is hard work to look beneath the surfaces presented to us and examine the cultural and historical forces underlying current conditions. Why should we care enough to make the effort? Norris says that acedia is not a relic of the 4th century or a hang-up of some weird monks, but a force we ignore at our peril. We say that we don't have time to think, but choose to focus on the foibles of celebrities to the detriment of learning more about the real world. The emergence of fundamentalist religious and nationalist movements, the economic factors endangering our reefs and rainforest, ice caps, our very life. We appear to be anything but slothful, another good seven deadly sins word, yet that is exactly what we are, even with our hectic and overburdened schedule. In her book, Sloth, the late Wendy Wasserstein wrote a parody of a self-help book entitled Sloth and How to Get It. In it, she talks about the uber-motivated people of our time. Wasserstein says, "When you achieve true slothdom, you have no desire for the world to change. The culture may glorify those who rise early to do Pilates, obsessively work their Blackberries on the morning commute, multitask all day at the office, put a gourmet dinner on the table at night after the kids have come home from French lessons, fencing lessons, soccer lessons, games, and many more things. But Wasserstein asks, are these hyper-scheduled, overactive individuals really creating anything new? Are they guilty of passion or zeal in any way? Do they have a new vision for their government, for their community, or for themselves? Is their purpose to keep themselves so busy, so entrenched in their active lives, so that their spirit reaches a permanent state of lethargy?" I think acedia is the main sin of our time. When you don't have time to think, how can you have time to care? Norris says this, "Our busyness can't disguise the suspicion that we are being steadily diminished. Not so much living as passing time in a desert of our own devising." The early Christian monks had a prescription for acedia: humble work, following the daily rules, and zeal for life. In fact, zeal is the best spiritual weapon for combating acedia. In a story from the Desert Fathers and Mothers of the 4th century, hear this. Abba Lot said to the elder wise Abba Joseph, "Abba Joseph, as far as I can, I say my little office, I fast a little, I pray and meditate, I live in peace, and as far as I can, I purify my thoughts. What else can I do?" Abba Joseph rose and stretched his hands towards heaven. His fingers were like 10 lamps of fire as he responded, "If you will, you can become all flame." Living a humble life with daily prayer and work, keeping our eyes focused on God, yet keeping them focused through the law, yet in the zeal of God's law. That's a tall order, a zeal that is about passion for the world and one another. Jesus had this zeal. The challenge is how to have this zeal without becoming spiritually diminished. We call it burnout. This is where the law comes in. The law helps us by asking us to limit ourselves. We don't like limits, but there it is. The tragic gap of life. By limiting ourselves, we find deep passion to be like Abba Joseph. We find God. And in order to care about God, care about ourselves, care about each other, we must scale back and take time to sift fact from fiction, the important from the unimportant. I've been doing some thinking about this lately in my own life. In our personal lives, I know that blackberries and multitasking is the only way to get through the day sometimes. But it's always hard for me when I'm having a conversation with someone and they're texting on their BlackBerry. Now, I just had my son home from school, so you've got to realize I've been right in the middle of that. So we're having a conversation, then there's texting going on at the same time. Or I'm on the phone, but there are long delays on the phone because someone's checking their computer while they're talking to me. I'm unable to do it. I'm unable to talk on my cell phone while I'm driving, so I haven't mastered that multitasking yet. But I wonder why we do that, why we aren't present where we are, and what that is going on within us. Perhaps when we stop, we realize how much the world needs. And in our community life, of course, my life revolves around this community in many ways. And I've always wondered about Memorial Church in two areas. I've wondered about not only our outreach, but our ministry and Christian formation to children and youth. Part of my call here was to dedicate myself to those things. And in our outreach, we love our Samaritan community, but one of the things I've learned from folks who are working on the board is that as we continue to have our food pantry on Saturday, we're asking folks to help out on that. And people are having trouble doing that. People care, but it's hard to care when you're so busy you can't catch your breath. That's one place. And I also see it with our children and youth. Our Sunday school is indeed a very vital part of any Christian community, any church community. And as the vestry talks about how we are going to meet our budget deficit by bringing in more people, the natural place to start is with families and children in our church school. That is where churches grow. And I wonder why we are unable to find folks to care in that area and help our Sunday school grow by being willing to be with our children and teach our children. I know it's hard because we all live busy lives, but that acedia is an insidious thing, because the busier we get, the less able we're able to sift fact from fiction, the impossible from the possible, our very ministry in the world. It just seems too much. So we lie down spiritually while our bodies are going at warp speed. I don't know what the answer is for you, but that is what Lent is about, is looking into that tragic gap of the more we do, the less we're able to be spiritually present in this world. How do we come to a different place by Easter Day? Of course, it's a lifelong task, but I ask you to hear the final verse of this. And think about Abba Joseph and his passionate, fiery fingers. Jesus in the temple. Let the fierce fires which burn and try our inmost spirits purify. Consume the ill, purge out the shame. O God, be with us in the flame. A newborn people may we rise, more pure, more true, more nobly wise. The law can lead us out of acedia, into zeal and God. Amen.